CliffCentral.com. So, George, what's happening this week?
Now, I don't know if, Sia, you know about the Formula One teams, but there's a Formula One team by the name of Haas. It's got nothing to do with the rabbit.
or nothing to do with the Haagen-Dazs ice cream, no?
Nothing to do with the Haagen-Dazs ice cream, no. So it's an American team, but I didn't know this. Apparently, there has been a ruling towards the end of last year that Russian athletes are not allowed to compete in world championship events because of a scandal around doping under their flag. They can compete, but not under their flag.
That's right. Well, I mean, listen, the Russians are well known for doing whatever they can to win. And we know that in Olympics in the 70s, there were Russian women who... Honest to God, I'm not entirely sure that they were women, but they could kickstart a Boeing if they wanted to, and they kept beating everyone else. So the Russians have got a long history of fiddling the results and testing any kind of strange doping on their athletes without any fear of what it might do to them long term.
Yeah, exactly. So in this particular case, Haas, the Formula One racing team, decided to paint their car in the colors of the Russian flag, not in the shape of the Russian flag, but just in the colors of the Russian flag. And now they've been taken to task by the World Anti-Doping Agency for doing this. And the team actually said, well, you know, we're using the colors. We're not displaying the flag, but I don't know if there's really a difference.
What do you think Russia should do? Should they just let their athletes compete under some other flag? Or, I mean, you know, the poor athletes, some of them are not doping, obviously. Now they can't compete. So I don't know what the answer is here.
I don't know what the other answer is. I suppose, you know, it happens in many sports where people move countries and they go and play for another team or another country. You know, do you still say you're from your original country and sport that flag? But if your country's really done something untoward, does wearing the flag mean you support that untoward behavior? I don't know.
While we're talking about Russia, I watched a brilliant spy movie called The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And it features Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer. It's an old movie that they've redone.
Isn't it an old movie?
Yeah, but they've redone it. I think they released it in 2015 or something, and it's really good. And Hugh Grant's in it as well. But it's set in East Berlin. In Berlin. The movie starts in Berlin in like the 1950s, 1960s. Anyway, I thought about that Russian car, the Lada, which I know we've spoken about once or twice before, but this is probably the best example of why communism can never win. The Lada is like this terrible car that everybody in Russia had to use, right? Because it was the only car available. And
looks like a Fiat.
I found out that there's this whole group of people all over the world who buy these Ladas and soup them up so that they look normal on the outside. They look like a normal, boring, terrible, you know, ordinary little communist car on the outside. But on the inside, they deck them out. They like do walnut paneling and they put in these beautiful like upholstered seats. And they've got, you know, incredible like dials and knobs on the dashboard. And it's all really, really smart on the inside. But on the outside, it looks like, you know, one of these piece of shit Ladas always look.
Well, it's a really boxy car. It's a bit ugly if you ask me. Yeah. It doesn't seem to have moved along from the 1970s.
No, not at all.
and then in South Africa, a BMW dealer took a coincidental jab at the VW Golf GTI 8. Mm. So what this BMW dealership in Pretoria did was they got a big billboard. I'll put a link to the billboard in the chat. Mm-hmm. There we go. If that works, they put a big billboard next to a VW dealership. right next to the BMW dealership and said, drop the G and drive the new BMW 128 Ti. Now, you know, in South Africa, you're not allowed to competitively advertise. You're not allowed to diss your competition. So, you know, I'm not sure if this is or isn't, but BMW says it was coincidental and Golf's and VW said, thanks for the free advertising.
Well, we've got a specific question here for you, George. We always get questions for you, but this one, Snai has just dropped it in now. Any tips for people like me who have road rage, George? Last week, I had an argument with a taxi driver, and I really unleashed on him because he was being an asshole. Now I'm scared that he'll come back to me because my car is personalized with my surname. I'm probably the only person in the Western Cape with a number plate with a word in Zulu, so I wouldn't be too hard to find. Now I want to change my number plate to a normal license plate number so that I'm not so easy to find. Well, George, what do you say about personalized plates and Snai's road rage?
Well, first of all, if you can't get your Snai, if you can't get your road rage under control, I would definitely change your number plate, change the color of your car, and potentially tint your windows. Because road rage is just, in my opinion, unacceptable because you don't know what the other person's going to do. It's silly. I think it's silly.
Also, you know, I used to get road rage quite a lot, and I started listening to podcasts and music and doing things that would distract me from getting angry because it's very self-indulgent also to lose your temper. But if you are going if you are going to lose your temper, keep it in the car, you know.
Keep it in the car, exactly. Like, so tint the windows. So when you shout and scream, nobody can actually see you. You know, some people can't help themselves. But, you know, I saw an incident the other day talking about road rage. I stopped at a filling station to fill up, and a guy pulled in next to me to pump his tires. And then he decided to move the car to the other side of to the other lane because he needs to now fill up, and his petrol cap was on the other side. So he just moved his car. In the meantime, some other guy came and parked in the place that he was in. And the petrol attendant proceeded to help the guy that came there second. And the guy that was there originally started to lose his shit because he should have been helped first. These two guys got out of their car and started a bit of a punch up.
George, and you stuck around to see this?
Well, there was a petrol pump in my car. I couldn't drive away.
You drive off.
So I think, yes, Sneer, try and do some stuff that'll calm you down. You just don't know what the other person is going to get up to. Do they have a weapon in the car?
That's it.
Are they going to get out?
We've all heard these horror stories of like someone who gets angry and uptight with like a taxi driver or someone in a bucky or whatever, and then this other person pulls out a gun, and then you know it can get very ugly very quickly, or a baseball bat, or what. You never know.
You just don't.
Or you meet them at the next set of robots. Oof. Once you think you've driven off.
Yeah,
so
right.
Try dealing with
or
that.
Or you end up going all to the same place. You end up at the same like office building or whatever. That's going to be awkward.
You drive into the same estate. Oof. Because you both live there.
Jesus.
Oh no.
Yes.
Hi neighbor.
No. Gotta watch it.
It could happen.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
Yes. So do you think there is any danger in, or should I say, sitting incorrectly, or is there a way to sit in your car to make it safer for you? So sitting correctly in your car apparently can increase the odds of survival in an accident by 67%.
I think that makes sense. I mean, you know these people who put their seat right back and then they kind of lie and you can actually see them through the back seat window.
Oh, yeah, that's asking for trouble.
I think
very much.
You can't see what's going on. You can't see over the dashboard. It's a big problem.
Does it also have anything to do with how the seat belt would protect you from that angle?
Yes, all of the above. So slouching in your seat, the one you're talking about. So when you sit too far back, you get these guys who sit in their car like this. When your arm is straightened and your hand is on the steering wheel, at the point of impact, you are going to break this arm.
Smash your arm. Yeah, that's right.
So the general rule of thumb is sit as far back as your wrist can rest on the steering wheel, so that when you bring your hand back, your arm is slightly bent.
Mm-hmm.
So at the point of impact, your arms bend instead of breaking. So slouching is a big problem because your makes arms sense. Are too far stretched out.
Also, you look like a douchebag. Can we add that in there? Like, this is the,
absolutely.
It's not a sofa. It's not for you to slouch on at home. It's for you to drive the car. Sit up straight. Because you probably
have, you were cool in the 90s.
Yeah, you probably have now. You probably have really bad posture as well. So tidy yourself
yes.
up.
Well, I think the other thing, this comes out of the study anyway, but the other thing is if you're sitting at the wrong angle with your seatbelt, and oftentimes you will, the seatbelt will come off your body a little bit. It then covers your neck or your face, or it is too high up. And at the point of impact, the seatbelt will hit you in the neck.
Hmm.
And that causes massive amounts of damage as well. So sitting up straight with the seatbelt below your shoulder across this part of your body is the most effective because it should be tight against your body. It shouldn't be loose on your body. And then the bottom part of the seatbelt as low down as possible on your hips so that your hips take the impact. But the other thing that people don't realize is that one of the most dangerous ways to sit in a car is with your feet on the dash. How many times have you driven and you see people sitting in the passenger seat with their feet on the passenger seat dashboard?
Yes.
I've seen that. That's horrible. It's so dangerous.
I'm slightly envious because that's someone who's quite small who can do that. If you have these long legs or slightly tall, you can't exactly do that comfortably.
Well, you can't do it completely, but the danger in doing that is not the accident. It's the airbag that will kill you because suddenly you'll have your legs flying towards you at a rate of knots when the airbag decides to deploy.
The most dangerous thing I've seen someone do, in my opinion, while driving is, the most dangerous way they sit. They drive an automatic car and they're quite small. So they only need one leg to operate the pedals and they curl their other leg up onto the actual seat. So, you know, some people who like actually sit on a chair and they sit on one of their legs.
Yes.
So they do that exactly while driving. And I thought, how, why you need, I don't know, you even need to brace yourself for impact should you unfortunately get into an accident. When would you find the time to uncurl yourself and put your leg down?
You wouldn't. It's dangerous. And then the last thing is sitting with a dog or a child on your lap. Less about the child or the dog being unrestrained and flying around the car when there's an impact is the airbag is the thing that is the danger in that instance, because when the airbag pops, it's going to catapult whatever's on your lap through the car.
That's bad.
Including if it's a child, that wouldn't be fun.
No.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
No. So, and then very lastly, Gareth, on a more positive note, the UK government has given £3 million, 64 million rand, to Johannesburg and the Nelson Mandela Bay to fund a program to combat climate change, including making buildings more eco-friendly, setting up charging stations, which is really good.
Do they really want to waste that money on Nelson Mandela Bay? I mean, can't they give it to another part of the country that's actually quite advanced?
I'm not going to say anything.
That's like me asking. Asking a village that has to boil its water before it can drink it, because it's full of parasites. Me asking them to please desalinate the oceans. What are you kidding, Nelson Mandela Bay? What a waste of money.
Well, happily, most of that comes to Joburg because that's where we live.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
All right, George. Thanks very much. It wouldn't be a good week on the Gareth Cliff Show if we didn't have a go at Port Elizabeth. So. There we are. There's your chance, Port Elizabeth. Okay, George, have a good weekend. CliffCentral.com